Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, tomorrow is Pac-12 Media Day. This show will be in Hollywood tomorrow, live from Pac-12 Media Day. You'll be in Hollywood. You're going to Hollywood. Nick Jastrow's going to Hollywood. He's a beat reporter at the Oregonian. He covers Oregon State. He's traveling later today, kind enough to join us now. What do you want to know? What do you want to get out of Pac-12 Media Day?
I want to know why you're having me on today instead of tomorrow. I must not be Hollywood enough for you. I'm kidding.
Because tomorrow we're going to have all the coaches and everything. You're going to be busy. I'm not going to pull you out of that media scrum and be like, Dash, will come tell me what you think. But so what do you want to ask? What do you want? Who do you want to talk to tomorrow?
Well, I'm focusing, you know, my energy on Oregon State, which has, you know, Jonathan Smith, the linebacker Avery Roberts and Jaden Grant, and hopefully Scott Barnes will get at some point. And, you know, there's a number of things I want to ask about. You know, start with vaccinations. You know, who's, you know, where are they at on that? You know, what happens to the guys that aren't vaccinated? Are they, you know, masking up all the time? You know, practices, those sorts of things. You know, general, what's going to happen? You know, what, how camp is, how they're going to pull off camp. You know, I want to find out from, you know, Barnes and Jonathan about, you know, a little bit about their thoughts on realignment, you know, is where Oregon State, you know, fits in all this, you know, because obviously Oregon State is not going to be anywhere near the top of anybody's wish list. And so I just wonder, you know, how do they make themselves, you know, as marketable as possible, because I don't know. No one knows where this is going to head. You know, I'm curious. I'm curious to see just what happens with Nick Rolovich tomorrow. I mean, that could go anywhere. I mean, it's hard to believe he won't know that he's just going to get, you know, blasted on there with questions on that. So I don't think he can, you know, hide under a rock and say, I'm not answering any of those things. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. And actually, you know, the other thing I was thinking, you know, a few weeks ago, Herm Edwards was front and center on this thing tomorrow. Now, I'm not sure that he's higher than third right now. I think Rolovich is, you know, he's going to be real prominent with people wanting to know. And the Pac-12 commissioner, you know, George Kliakoff, you know, how that, you know, what his thoughts are on a number of things, you know, the realignment and everything else that goes in with his job. I think he's going to, you know, he and Rolovich are going to be one and two. So Herm Edwards has got to be sending a bouquet of flowers to a couple of guys, I would think, just because, I mean, he would have been the focal point, and he still will be to some degree, but not like he was 2 weeks ago.
What do you make of the athletic directors being there for the first time? Is this a positive? Is it a distraction? Is it too much? What do you make of that?
Well, I think they've all met the commissioner, but I think it's timely. I mean, shoot, with everything going on, I know it was planned initially anyway, but I mean, they've got to get together and at least talk, you know, maybe not have a game plan, but at least talk about their thoughts and whatnot, because I mean, I'm sure they're getting asked questions by all their staff and, you know, what's going to happen. And so, yeah, I mean, they're there today, I believe. I think they're mostly meeting today. So, you know, it doesn't hurt the commissioner to have, you know, more, keep building a relationship with those guys, because he's the, you know, they're the ones he's going to be dealing with the most, those folks and the president.
What do you make of the SEC's move? They're adding Texas and Oklahoma. They are going to be a super conference. you know, the natural reaction. All of us go, all right, Pac-12's got to expand. Big Ten's got to expand. Big 12's got to add some members. What do you expect, like, short-term, long-term? Does the Pac-12 need to add members?
It's hard to say because what's out there now I don't think is going to add to the add to what each school is getting from a TV standpoint. But they might have to add just to keep what they've got to keep, you know, the TV people interested, the TV and the streaming people interested. I mean, they may need to do that in order to keep what they've got. So, I don't know. I don't know who would possibly leave the Pac-12. That's the other issue. I mean, is USC in play for somebody? I don't know. Is UCLA and USC? I mean, I would think those two would be the most attractive for somebody outside of maybe the Arizona schools getting poached by the Big 12. But those things would seem to be on the table. But I don't know who would be a good fit for the Pac-12.
I keep thinking about geography, and I kind of have to remind myself that, like, a lot of this whole thing's being driven by ESPN. The whole thing is being, it's an event business, it's a network, it has the SEC deal, it is a landmark deal, it wanted Texas, it wanted Oklahoma, ESPN's getting what it wants. Ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to. If I'm the Pac-12, I got to play a little bit of defense with Colorado. I think I'm a little worried that Colorado might be missing the Big 12 and being, you know, feeling important. You know, it's never really felt important in the Pac-12, but I don't think that's a great move for Colorado to go running back to the Big 12.
I don't either, because who's the bell cow now in the Big 12? I mean, they don't really have one now. And so what's the upside for Colorado to move? I mean, it would cost them money and they'd be leaving for what? I don't see that. I think the Arizona schools would be more of a fit, but again, what's in it for them? I don't see what would be in it for them. And so, but I do think you're right. The Pac-12 does need to play some defense because I don't know that, you know, like I said, I don't think adding any schools is going to, you know, increase the per year money that they're able to bring in, but they might need to do that just to keep what they expected bring in.
What, you know, Notre Dame has said that it's happy being an independent. It would never join a conference in football, but I keep looking at Notre Dame, which plays USC, plays Stanford, aligns itself sort of with the hey, we're above, you know, the business of college football. It does fit the Big Ten or Pac-12, I think, a little better than the others. Is Notre Dame on the table? Would you bring in Oklahoma State if you could get Notre Dame? You'd add two of those. Does that do anything for Nick Daschle?
You know, if you could get Notre Dame to come in, you could bring Clackamas Community College in at the same time. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The second one is you got Notre Dame. You got to bring somebody in with them. But yeah, Notre Dame would be, yeah, that would be, that's, I mean, that's bigger than, that's probably bigger than Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. But I mean, the Big 12 or the Notre Dame's got to be more of a target for the Big Ten than the Pac-12, I would think. But you know, there's enough arrogance there that I don't see Notre Dame doing anything.
I was on campus in Corvallis yesterday and walking around a little bit and sent a text message to Jonathan Smith and said, "Man, like the facilities at Oregon State are sneaky good. Like, no longer do I look around at Oregon State's facilities and go, oh, they need massive improvements. Now, the West Side Eraser Stadium is going to undergo its facelift. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking practice facilities. I'm talking weight rooms. I'm talking the facade of the football stadium. It looks light years ahead of where it was a decade ago. Is that a hard message to pitch in major college athletics because you're competing against the Oregons of the world? Or, you know, where is Oregon State facility-wise in your mind?
Well, that's kind of what I've been saying about Reser Stadium. You know, they have to do the west side because it's falling apart. But they don't really need to do it because of athletes. the athletes live in the practice facility, in Valley Football Center, in the weight room, in the locker room. Those are the areas that they need to address. And from my standpoint, I believe they've addressed all those things. They're pretty nice. I mean, is there gold in there? No, but I mean, there's everything those players need and want. I think they got plenty to pitch. And I mean, you bring recruits on campus this time of year, even though the students aren't there. I mean, it's a hard place not to like.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us. Finally, Nick, the Pac-12 media poll will come out. Somebody will be first. Somebody will be last. What do you expect for Oregon State in that poll and Oregon?
I picked Oregon State fourth. I think they'll be fifth or sixth. Oregon, I'll be stunned if they're not one. I mean, there's enough questions about Washington that I think Oregon will be one, and I don't see anybody else, you know, being seriously considered for the top spot. I mean, I think it's Oregon, USC in the championship game, and I think USC might turn the table this time around. I did pick Oregon State fourth, but I expect them to be fifth or sixth. And I'm curious, had people sent their ballots in like late last week, where would they pick Washington State? Because that place looks like it's going to come apart.
I am kind of wondering. Back to Nick Rolovich, he's on record saying he's not vaccinated. He has his own reasons. He will not be allowed in at Pac-12 Media Day for those reasons. Does this hurt him, or is this something Nick Rolovich easily overcomes?
No, I don't think he's going to overcome it at all. I think there's a lot of discussions going on at Washington State about what to do with this situation. Because, I mean, I see on Twitter some of the players are backing him, but I cannot believe that entire roster is backing his stance. And I have people that I know at Washington State. Rolovich isn't alone. There's some belief in that whole department that vaccinations are not a good idea. Now I don't know what Nick's reason is for it. Could be a medical thing. I think he needs to come out tomorrow and say, you know, give an explanation. He's the leader of that program. I think he's got to say something.
Yeah, I think he's got to talk about it, even though he says he doesn't want to talk about it. It's what everybody wants to talk about.
So no, when you're the leader of the program, you got it. You have to lead, and hiding behind your desk is not leading.
Nick Daschle, I'll see you at Media Day in Hollywood.
All right, 7:30 in the morning. Be there.
I'll be there earlier than that, but I'll be there. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. There he is. I want you to leave it right here. Our big splash is coming up. I don't blame the SEC for wanting Texas and Oklahoma. I blame ESPN for making it happen. Notre Dame up in the air now. Our big splash has nothing to do with college football. It's the one thing you need to know today, and it's in the NFL.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
The big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, the Green Bay Packers haven't said whether they think Aaron Rodgers is going to show up tomorrow when veteran players are required to report for training camp. But they're talking like they believe he's going to play for them this season. And so is Aaron Rodgers. Packers organization and President Mark Murphy was asked by reporters if they knew whether he would show up. And Murphy said, I think fans are frustrated with the situation. He called it a pox on both houses, the Packers and Aaron. But he said, we've been in constant communication for months. I'm hopeful we'll have it resolved. Rodgers wants the Packers potentially to leave the door open for him, not tag him as a franchise player. He skipped all the offseason activities, including the mandatory minicamp in June. Jordan Love, their first-round draft pick, got all the reps at that mini camp, but it looks like Rodgers and the Packers probably going to be okay for this year. But I'm one of these people that sits back and goes, okay, that's face value. He's going to be there, but will he be happy? Will he be committed? Will it be a distraction on the Packers' house? Like, I think there's a lot of questions about that moving forward, and it's the one thing you need to know. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers appear to be, I think he's going to be in uniform. I just don't know how happy he's going to be in that uniform. Judah Newby, what's going to happen here with Rodgers and the Packers?
Kind of get the sense that this is his last year, that it may also be Devontae Adams' last year. I know they sent out tandem Instagram stories with them in the Last Dance template. I think that's thinking a little highly of themselves. They haven't won anything yet, but I think the narrative still stands. This is going to be their last year with the Green Bay Packers. It reeks uncomfortably like Dame Lillard in Portland, where you got a guy that's playing at an MVP level. Heck, he won the MVP with years remaining. But, of course, in the NFL, you've got the ability to franchise guys coming up with their deals, like you mentioned. And I feel like a divorce is in sight for Rodgers and the Packers, but on the other hand, I'll believe it when I see it, because franchises have so much power in the NFL compared to the NBA.
It's so hard to win. It's hard enough to win. It's hard to win when everybody's happy. I think it creates a degree of difficulty and a problem with the Packers that I almost feel like a lot has to go right early for the Packers for this Rodgers thing to not become flare up and become a major problem like in the early part of the season. Because, you know, I'm sure the Packers are going to get asked about it. I'm sure Rodgers is going to get asked about it. If they start losing games, or they lose games they shouldn't lose, or he's not playing well, I think all of a sudden it starts becoming a problem. We all know winning cures things. It's, you know, in the case of the Blazers and Damian Lillard, I just kind of feel like this thing has run its course, and we all know they're going to be like a 6, 7, or 8 seed. And it's just going to be more of the same with Lillard as long as Neil Olshey is the general manager. So we kind of go, okay, I could see why he feels a little hopeless. Do the Packers have that same feel to you that, like, do they feel like they're just stuck? Because I don't feel that way. I feel like they've been close in the last couple of years and getting deeper in the playoffs.
They hosted the NFC title game last year, right? I mean, they are much better in their conference than the Blazers are in theirs. So in that respect, they're worlds apart from where Portland is. Also, they got a lot better from a roster standpoint on defense in the offseason, and that's typically been the Packers' Achilles heel, has been defense. They've got a really good defense on paper entering this year, and they made a change at defensive coordinator. They've done a lot of things, but everybody will point to the lack of drafting wide receivers and the Jordan Love pick. Those two things, especially the Jordan Love pick, that's what set Aaron Rodgers off and set off his relationship. He's saying Brian Gutekunst is Jerry Krause. He's saying Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM, says organizations win championships, not players. And Rodgers over here is thinking, man, I might not be Michael Jordan, but come on now. Like, I won you a Super Bowl before you were even here 10 years ago, and you haven't done enough. And not only that, you're forcing me out with drafting this young cat like this. I mean, that singular moment, I think, is what's forcing Rodgers out, because as you mentioned, JC, from a roster standpoint across the board, they are pretty darn talented, and they should have went to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they're good enough to matter. Ryan Clark speaking about what he thinks this whole situation is about. I thought this was interesting. He was asked about, you know, is this an Aaron Rodgers thing? Is this a Packers thing? Here's Ryan Clark.
This isn't about contracts. This isn't about careers. This isn't about legacy. This is about two individuals or one individual feeling like individuals in the organizations have done things contrary to what he feels is best for him. Because of that, he won't do things, or he won't play football and allow those people to look good in those decisions.
People. It always comes back to people. Here's Ryan Clark when asked if he thought Rodgers would sit out.
Aaron Rodgers is petty enough to sit at his house. Are the Green Bay Packers, or is Brian Gutekunst, is Mark Murphy, are they humble enough to say publicly, you know what, we made a mistake. We want Aaron. We didn't do the right things. Aaron is right to be upset. Now we have to make it right. Maybe that's a start into reconciliation, but until then, I believe Aaron Rodgers is going to sit at his house.
Look, I grew up a Niner fan. It was hard to watch the Niners part ways with Joe Montana and just say, essentially, we're handing the keys to Steve Young.
Golden Joe can go to Kansas City. It was hard to see Ronnie Lott and Roger Craig and ultimately Jerry Rice end up in Raiders uniforms. Like, in the end, though, I realized that the organization was not going to wax nostalgic. It was going to move forward. Were the Packers wrong to draft Jordan Love, or did they just go about it the wrong way?
Both. I think it's a mistake to draft Jordan Love. I mean, at that point in the first round...
Not a good enough player to ruin your quarterback's psyche over.
I just don't get it. I do not get it. I don't get it from Matt LaFleur's standpoint. Like, he's trying to make a statement that back then, that was right when he was taking over the team, and he's trying to make a statement of all that, but man, like, that is too much of a reach for that quote-unquote talent. I mean, it's a Trey Lance-type project, except yeah. Trey Lance is bigger and faster and stronger and honestly more proven at the FCS level than Jordan Love ever was with Utah State. I just, man, it's such a big reach and way too big of a risk. And that's what they misevaluated the risk to Aaron Rodgers. They misevaluated their own relationship with Rodgers to pull a move like this.
I doubt they talked to him, right? And, yeah. And I think that ultimately comes down. Look, organizations make mistakes. They make moves, but...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald
Face. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.